A few years ago, Pope Francis gave a series of catechetical talks on the Our Father. And we here in the community, we spent a few months reflecting on those talks. I think there were 16 talks or 15 talks. Today's gospel is the Our Father, so what came back to my mind was some of the insights of Pope Francis in talking about this extraordinary passage from the gospel, this great gift of a prayer taught by Jesus himself, the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. I remember getting the impression from Pope Francis that he was not teaching a theological treatise. He was pondering a treasure. It's like picking up a book, your favorite book. You've read it many times, you know exactly what it is, but you can pick up that book anytime, you can open it to any page, and you can start reading, and you can still enjoy it. Something like that. When Pope Francis would pick up the Our Father, and he would start to talk about this or that aspect of it, you get the impression, he knows this book very well. He loves this book. And we should all love this prayer. It's just an absolute gem. We know the structure of the Our Father. It has three petitions that are addressed especially to what concerns God, and then four petitions that address our needs. But before we get to that, we might look at what Jesus says about how we should not pray. He identifies two ways of praying that are not the way we should pray: the way of the hypocrites and the way of the pagans. The hypocrites he covered in yesterday's gospel. Remember, don't fast like hypocrites, don't give alms like hypocrites, and don't pray like hypocrites. The problem with hypocrites is that what they're doing is all for show. They might be praying, they might be saying very good words, even holy words, even saying the words of the Our Father, but it's just for show. They're not really addressing God, they're just acting. And Jesus in yesterday's gospel said, well, if you pray like that, you already have your reward. If you're just going to act to impress people, well then, whatever impression you make on them, that's all you get. No fruit of establishing any communion with God. Just acting. Some actors are good actors. Now, thinking about hypocrites and about actors, sometimes people accuse ministers, especially priests, of being hypocrites, or of just being actors. In fact, not even very good actors, because all we do is read from a book. At least actors memorize their lines, but the priest is just reading his lines from the book. And sometimes people, especially those who come from other Christian traditions, who are not familiar with Catholic liturgy, they come from a lively prayer meeting style prayer where the leader of the prayers seems to pray spontaneously and use his own words. Then they come into a Catholic mass and the priest reads from the book as if he doesn't even know what to say. And they say, what is that? That's just hypocrisy. It's not even his own words, not even really praying. You can understand that accusation. No, it seems to make some sense. Well, it's true that a priest can be a hypocrite, but there's a big difference between what a priest does and what a prayer leader or a minister does, because a priest is ordained to speak on behalf of the people and also to speak in the name of the Lord. So he's not just offering his personal prayer. He's not supposed to deviate from what's in the book, because it's not his prayer. It's the prayer of the church. It's the prayer of Christ addressed to the Father. So that's what defends a priest against that accusation of hypocrisy. He's not supposed to be making up his own spontaneous prayers. He's supposed to be praying in the name of the church and also in the name of Jesus himself. Okay, so anyway, that's just a side point that I thought you might want to be reminded of, why a priest reads all the prayers. Well, the other category that Jesus identifies, aside from hypocrites, is the pagans. Now, the pagans are not hypocrites, probably, well, we don't know, but they are just not believers. They don't believe what has been revealed to us about God or revealed by God. So they're speaking to divinities, God's powers that may not even be real, or maybe they just don't know who they're talking to. And Jesus in this gospel says, when you pray, don't babble like the pagans. Don't babble. Don't just multiply words. Now, when it comes to pagans, that's a pretty big category. Sometimes it could refer to people who believe in an absolute being, a force, an impersonal power that is eternal and almighty. Well, how do you talk to something like that? Who would dare to address an absolute being? Isn't it pretty? It's a pretty risky thing to do. So in some pagan traditions, what happened was, if someone got away with saying something to the absolute being and didn't get struck by lightning or didn't die of a terrible illness, well, then maybe what he said was okay to say. So you could repeat that. It's kind of a trial and error thing. They don't really know what the absolute being is doing or thinking, if he even thinks, but they know that you could say this or that, or do this or that gesture, ritual, sacrifice, and not get smoked with a lightning bolt. Or that idea of God as some kind of an impersonal force, something like the Force in Star Wars. Well, you can't really relate to it. It's not personal. It might benefit you, and it might not. So it's hard to pray to that kind of a thing. What you do is you just kind of push against it, like pushing against a rock. Well, if you push hard enough against a rock, or you push long enough, you might move the rock. If you push on a marble column hard enough, you might knock it over. And that's why the pagans babble. Just push, push harder, push harder. You know, it's a big, heavy rock. It's just a force. If you're going to counter a force, you have to have more force. So do more. That's one pagan conception that does not fit at all what we know about God. Then there is the idea that you see typically in religions that have a pantheon, many gods, like the Greeks and the Romans and many other ancient civilizations. They had lots of gods. They were more personal, and they were powerful, and they're eternal, but they're not good. So you're not quite sure how they're going to react to you when you talk to them or offer a sacrifice to them. So you know the gods of the Greeks, they fight against each other, they're jealous against each other, they take each other's spouses, they betray each other, they're not trustworthy at all. They're like people, but more powerful, and meaning they're just as bad as we are. So how do you talk to people like that? Well, how do you talk to gods like that? Well, you babble. You just hope that you hit the right formula, and hope that you don't make them mad. And so Jesus says, don't pray like that. Don't think of God like that. He's not like that. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. You don't have to convince him or push against him or come up with a perfect formula. He already knows what you need. Well, if God already knows what we need, what are we supposed to say? What do we dare to say? We dare to say these words that Jesus teaches us, and we realize from the very beginning of the prayer, it's something we dare because of our relationship with him. God is our Father in heaven, a heavenly Father, not a force, not a capricious, God of the wind or something, not a corporation. Sometimes people treat God like San Miguel Corporation or Jollibee Corporation. Well, yeah, you might like a corporation, but you don't really relate to it in a personal way. You hope to get things from the stocks or from the stores or whatever, but it's not really a personal relationship. You're not the child of a corporation. But when we talk to God, we're talking to a Father. This is related to what we reflected on last Sunday, Trinity Sunday. Very important feast in the church, a very important thing to build on, because it reveals something essential about God. He's almighty and he's eternal and he's all-knowing, and a lot of people believe that about God, but he is also all relational. He's relational. He's not just powerful or eternal. He's relational. You can connect to him in a personal way. And that's part of who he is even before we relate to him, even before we exist. He's a communion of relationships, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, if you think about this, you realize how important this is. If God were only one and not three, if he were only this force, then he might relate to us as a father, or he might not. It's kind of up to him. Maybe he wants to act like a father today. Maybe he doesn't want to tomorrow. Well, he's completely on his own. He's not really a father if he's just a one eternal being. But the truth about God is that he is an eternal Father. He can't not be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He can't not be in relationship. That's who he is. So when Jesus reveals this about him, because Jesus is the one who reveals God most perfectly, when he reveals God, he reveals him as Father. So when we pray to our Father. When Pope Francis gave his series of talks, about half the series was on this one point, that God is Father. And we are his children. And that relationship makes it possible for us to pray at all. Because we are not just pushing against God with lots of words. We're not just hoping to hit some correct formula. We're talking to a loving Father. He's in heaven. He's holy. He has a kingdom. He wants his kingdom to reign here. He wants his will to benefit us as it benefits everyone in heaven. That's the one we're talking to. And that already establishes the basis for asking him for our daily bread. Why would we ask an impersonal force for daily bread? Well, because we're hungry, sure. You can talk to Jollibee and say, I'm hungry. Well, they might give you food, they might not. But God is already determined to give us what we need. He already knows what we need. Give us our daily bread. We dare to say that because we know who it is that we're talking to. We know he has already given us our daily bread. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We would have starved long ago. In fact, aside from physical food that we rely on every day, we have also been given spiritual food every day, or we wouldn't be here. And those of us who can attend the daily mass like this, we're given the most extraordinary food of all, the bread of life, the body of Christ. That's our daily bread. Who would dare to ask for the body of Christ? Who would dare to say such a thing, Lord? Give us the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your own Son. Who would dare to say such a thing? Well, only children of the family. Only people who have an inside line with the Lord. Who would dare to ask for forgiveness? You know, It's not that easy to talk about our sins. That's why people don't go to confession. They don't want to talk about our sins. It's not an easy thing to do, to say, I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. But we can do it because of who God is, because He's a Father, a loving Father. He won't reject us just because we're sinners. He won't refuse forgiveness when we ask Him. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lord, insert us into this dynamic of mercy that reigns in your kingdom. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We can be confident when we talk to our Father. He won't let us be tempted beyond our limits. He won't let us fall into the hands of the evil one. He doesn't want us to be subjected to evil. So you see this beautiful prayer. I could go on and on about this one. Like Pope Francis, or like anybody who loves the Father. So that's all I want to say, I think, for now. We are, when we're praying, we're not hypocrites. Sure, we're not perfect, and maybe some of what we do is for show. We have to repent of that. We're not pagans, even though sometimes we treat God like He's a rock that we have to push against, or He's a pagan, He's one of the gods, you have to try to convince Him to do the right thing. Maybe we act like that, but we should repent of that. But we're not hypocrites, really. We're not pagans, really. We are children of our Father. We are members of the family. We are in the embrace of a love that is without measure, an extraordinary communion of love, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's who we talk to when we pray.